let's continue to praise the name of Jesus tonight. begin to give praise and glory and honor to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords tonight. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. The splendor of
the King,
golden majesty.
Thank you.
worship him in this house. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Worthy is the Lamb. Come on, let's adore him tonight. Come on, let's give him praise. He's worthy. He's worthy of the glory and the honor and the praise tonight. Oh, filled with wonder. Come on, does it still marvel you? Is it still amazing to you tonight? Come on, is his grace still amazing to you tonight? We worship you, Savior. We praise you, Jesus. Praise God. Amen. Before you're seated tonight, we're going to go to the Lord in prayer. Several needs in the house. Elder Myers is still trying to recover from his sickness. Pray for Jerry Albrecht. Pray for her brother.
Steve Arnold. He is battling cancer. Amen. Thank God for everybody who's in the house of the Lord tonight feeling better. Amen. If you know somebody who needs a touch in their body, lift their name right now to heaven. Savior, we love you. We thank you for your goodness, your mercy, your grace. We thank you for what we feel in this house right now. We thank you for the ability to be in this house. God, we ask you, Lord, that you would touch every heart, every mind, every soul, every body, every spirit tonight. Touch Brother Arnold. Touch Mr. Albrecht, dear God. Touch Brother Myers, dear Lord. Heal, God. Help, God. Deliver. God, we need you in this house right now. Come on, church. Oh, the church made intercession. The church praying without ceasing. Prayer was made of a church tonight. Come on, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man or woman. There's no telling what could happen in this moment right here. What virtue could go forth from this house? In the name of Jesus, there's people that need healing in their mind, in their heart, in their soul tonight. Bless them, God. Bless them, God. Help them, Jesus. Come on, in the name of Jesus, I feel the Holy Ghost move in this house right now. Oh, my King, my Lord, my Savior, we praise you, Jesus. Come on, praise him, praise him, praise him. He's worthy. He's able to do exceeding abundantly above all we could ask or think. The prayer of faith will save the sick tonight. By your spirit, Jesus, give the Lord a hand clap of praise all over this house tonight. We give you glory, Jesus. Amen, amen. God bless you. You can be seated. Ushers are preparing to receive the Wednesday night tithe and offering. I just want to reiterate how thankful we are for all those that have been able to help with our building program. You say, well, Pastor, I don't know how to frame. I don't know how to do all the things you're doing. I'm not an electrician or an HVAC tech. What can I do to help? I'm glad you asked. We just got a $400,000 bill on top of the $350,000 loan we already got. So if you want to help support the kingdom of God, we got a $750,000 mortgage now. Don't be skipping out on your giving. Don't be chintzing on your support. This is where it separates the men from the boys and the women from the girls and the Ananias and Sapphira's from the Barnabas's. Amen. We want to make sure we're doing our part. Now, the bank lady asked me today, how would you like to this to proceed? I said, I'd like for somebody to pay for it. If you're asking me what I want to see happen, I want somebody to pay for it. She said, okay, so you're not going to put up any collateral. I said, the only collateral we got is the property and the building. So there it is. The good news is we have such equity in that property that we don't have to go through any kind of approval, any kind of reevaluation of our loan. They said, sure, we'll give you $400,000 more. The bank's always willing to lend you money. Hey, that is not a miracle when the bank lends you money. Someone told me one time they were praying for God to help them get out of their debt, and he got approved for a refinance and a consolidation loan. I said, that was not a miracle. Not every open door is God. So we're still trusting and believing that God's going to work a miracle out, because the miracle is we still got to make that monthly mortgage payment. And my wife, who's doing the books and being church secretary and treasurer, said, that's right, because she knows. And we're looking around that house thinking, well, I guess a wall tent is appropriate. We're going to be living in a tabernacle on the church property if things don't change, but God's able. And we're thankful for a great church that does support the things of God. We couldn't do this without you, and we definitely want him involved in this. Amen? Don't forget your daily prayer, Bible reading, your time of fasting. be faithful, a witness, and he that winneth souls is wise. What we need, the answer to the problem, is a full church. The answer to all the problems is a full church. They need saved. They need to go to heaven. We need to get them there. And we'll all get it there together and support the kingdom of God, the work of God. Be faithful in all areas of the church. If you haven't been by the church, go by. See the progress that's been made. It is looking fantastic. Amen. Let's stand together and pray for the offering. Let's really pray tonight. Jesus, we love you. We thank you. God, you're doing a work in this city. You're doing a work in this church. God, you're blessing people. You're giving them the finances to support the kingdom of God, the work of God. I pray right now. Savior, we're giving out of our lack. We're giving out of our deficit. But God, all things belong to you. You own the cattle of a thousand hills. You can bless. You can work miracles. And God, we'll give you praise for it. Come on, church, in the name of God. I feel miracles shaping up. I feel faith rising. Oh, come on, let's sing and worship as the ushers come tonight.
Heard. your hands in faith in this house. Come on, would you apply that faith right now?
Come on, I feel faith in the house tonight. Oh, I believe my God can still do anything. Come on, if you believe that, just reach out to him right now. Come on, reach out to him right now. We worship you, Jesus. Come on, let's entertain the presence of the Lord in the house. Come on, let's entertain the presence of the Lord in this place right now. In the name of Jesus. Come on, God didn't bring us this far to leave us. God didn't bring us this far to see us fall. We love you, Jesus. We glorify you, Savior. In the name of the Lord, in the name of the Lord. Praise God. I mentioned this Sunday night. I was talking to Pastor Billy, Dwayne Uzzell. Billy Uzzell's the bishop now, but as they were in the parking lot to sign the loan for their property and for their building, which is a way bigger project. I think they said their mortgage was over $20,000 a month. One of their top people, they thought, left and took 60 people with him. And Brother Uzzell looked at his dad and said, what do we do? He said, we're going to sign the loan papers. We're going to carry on. This was just the other day he told me this. He said, and God has replaced them threefold. Not only with more people, but more faithful people. And I'm not here tonight bashing anyone who's left because that's not our story. I'm just saying that if God can do it for them, if God will do it for them, then he'll do it for us. If God will provide a way when there seems to be no way, then God, that same God is the God that we serve. He said there was a man that visited their church one time from Arkansas. Still doesn't go to church anywhere. But he sends them a tithe check every month for $25,000. God just showed I can replace all that was lost. I can make up all the difference with one person. If I so choose or I see fit. However God wants to do it, and we have said all along, if anybody but God gets the glory, we're doing something wrong. You know, here's the deal, church. We really weren't having a struggle making that $350,000 mortgage payment, $2,800 a month. That wasn't a struggle. We were almost doing that for the other building. But where does God get the glory when we already have it covered? Where does God get the glory when we already have it covered and we don't really need him? We need him. We need him. And God, if you want to do it, we're going to praise you for it. And if you just make a way for us to do it, we're going to praise you for it. If you bring people in or give us better jobs or someone gets an inheritance, however you want to work it out, God. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? No. Oh, hallelujah to God. Matthew chapter 22. Mark chapter 12 and John chapter 13. Turn to all three of those verses at the same time. Matthew 22 and 36, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Mark 12 ends it the same way, and the second is like it, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. But John 13, 34 says it this way, a new commandment I give you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this, everybody say, by this. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye love one another. I'm going to entitle this tonight simply, by this shall men know. By this shall men know. Can we lift our hands all over the house one more time tonight? Come on, what an incredible atmosphere. What an incredible spirit we feel in this house. Savior, we love you. We thank you. We praise you. Oh, we glorify your blessed name. Oh, hallelujah to God. Come on, we're different, church. Come on, he didn't say by the way you dress, by the way you worship, by the way you pray. That's all important. But do you have love one for another? Oh, hallelujah, Jesus, we praise you. Praise God, amen. God bless you. You can be seated tonight. John 15, 11, these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man laid down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. Verse 17 says, these things I command you, that ye love one another. I believe that it was important to Jesus that we had affection one towards another. I believe it was important to him enough for it to be labeled in the Gospels that the second commandment was like the first. As much as you love God, as much as you love him with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind, love your neighbor as yourself. Love him fervently, love him passionately, love him with vim and vigor, because the Bible said, by this, I thought, Pastor, it was our dress. I thought, Pastor, it was the sleeve length. Pastor, I thought it was the refraining from Hollywood and sports and the music and all the things that the world has. Yes, that is part of it. But can I tell you, I've seen people who don't dress like the world, don't act like the world, don't go where the world goes. They've got a bitter, they've got a nasty spirit. They don't love one another. They don't even think people just like them are saved unless they do it exactly the way they do it. I don't want that spirit on me. I don't want that spirit in the church. I don't want that spirit in my family. I want people to know, yeah, they dress right. Yeah, they talk right. Yeah, they do right. But you know what? They love one another. They're on each other's side. Come on, we're not backbiters. We're not backstabbers. We're not saying it jokingly in public, but they're saying it for real in private. I think it's in the Proverbs. He says, surely I sport. I'm winking. Ha ha, it's funny. But if you turn around and say that same thing to somebody in a private conversation, it lets us know or gives us a pretty good indication that that's what we meant in public. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another. We're different. We matter to each other. We're on each other's team. We're each other's hero and each other's cheerleader. We're the ones that got you back when you're up against the wall. We want everybody to know that we're true followers of Jesus Christ. Yeah. Preferring means to lead the way for others. Show the difference. Show them that we're different. I've been hurt by people. I've been hurt by people in the church. I've been hurt by family. But thank God there were people. Thank God there was somebody. Maybe my relationship with Jesus wasn't where it was supposed to be, but I had a relationship with someone in the church that kept me in. You said, oh, no, you got to love Jesus with all your heart. I understand that. But sometimes if all you got is Jesus and you look around the church and you got nobody else, it's kind of hard to live for Jesus. But I want there to be enough love in the house that I can love Jesus and I can love my brother. I can love Jesus and I can love my sister. I got a relationship with people. Come on, somebody. You got to have a relationship, not just with the Lord, but with his church. I heard Brother Mark Copeland say, I think it was Brother Mark Copeland. If it wasn't, it doesn't really matter. But someone said this, if you say you love Jesus, but you don't love his church, you don't love Jesus. If you invite me, but my wife is not included. If you invite me, but my wife is not welcome, I'm not coming. If you say you love me, but don't love my wife, guess what? You don't love me. And we got issues. I don't want to say I love Jesus and can't stand his bride. I don't want to say I love Jesus, but don't want to say, hey, you can't spend eternity with the bride of Christ if you don't love the bride of Christ. The Bible tells us in Romans 12:18, if it be possible, as much, see, people think that's a caveat. Well, I tried, but they were hard to get along with. As much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth within you, live peaceably with all men. I heard someone say the other day, always give them positive intent. When the person cuts you off on the road, I told my wife tonight on the way to church, I said, I can't say what I always want to say to people. So I talk to the people who are cutting me off on the road because they can't hear me. I release my frustration on the people who are driving like idiots on the road. So I'm practicing what I preach tonight. I'm going to have to practice what I preach tonight. I always give someone positive intent. When that person cuts you off on the freeway, just think, well, they're on the way to the hospital to see their newborn baby. Maybe they're on the way to the hospital because they're having troubles with their heart. Maybe something's going on in their life that they're trying to get somewhere in a hurry and help somebody out. Just give them enough grace. When the boss comes to work and he's mad, just assume that he had a fight with his spouse and he's really not mad at you, so you don't know what he's... Can I just tell you this? We don't always know what someone's fighting, what someone's going through, what someone happened at home or at work or wherever, but can we just minister grace? Can we just minister, follow peace with all men and holiness, for without which no man shall see the Lord. Follow peace with the ones you like. Follow peace with the ones that are easy to get along with. Follow peace with the ones that signs your paycheck. I saw this post the other day. McDonald's could get your meal wrong 1,000 times, and you still go back and eat garbage. Church hurts you once or twice, or someone preaches something you don't really like, and you're already looking for a new place. In fact, you'll even compromise your belief system and go find some place where they won't offend you. Can I tell you, if you find some place that won't offend you, they're not going to help you either. Offenses must needs come. I want someone to preach to me. I want someone to help me. I want them to preach the truth in love. I want them to, you know, sometimes it's tough love, but I want to know they love me, because if I know they love me, I can put up with a whole lot of stuff. But the Bible says follow peace with all men and holiness. We're not forsaking holiness for this tonight. But the Bible said, without which no man shall see the Lord, looking diligently lest any man fail the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness spring up, trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Can I just say it again tonight? You don't know what someone's going through, and your harsh response or your jaded response could cause bitterness to get in their life, could cause hurt to get in their heart. I understand we got to fight bitterness, and we got to fight all these things and these hurts, but I don't want to be the reason why someone got hurt. I don't want to be the reason why someone couldn't get through. I don't want to be the reason someone couldn't make it. I gotta have gentleness in my spirit. I gotta have meekness in my spirit. Oh, no man anything. There are people who all they want to do is withdraw from accounts. You may win the argument. You may get the last word in. But at what cost? What cost is being right? If I'm going to withdraw from someone's account and prove my point, I better have put enough in that account that I don't overdraw. I better put enough love and enough kindness and enough mercy, because I don't want to overdraw that account and lose them. Come on, if you got out against a brother, if you think someone's got out against you, go back and talk to them and gain that brother or that sister back. I know this may just be, oh, well, it's a Wednesday night Bible study. No, there's something in our spirit tonight that says, I don't want to lose my friends. I don't want to lose my neighbors. I don't want to lose the children of God that God has put in my life. There's people in our lives right now in the church that God has put there to save us and to sharpen us and to make us better. I don't want to lose them. I don't want to lose anybody, come on, but love one. Oh, no man anything, but love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. Can I just ask us tonight, can we not do it out of law? Can we not do it out of mercy? But can we do it out of love? I was just talking to somebody the other day, and they said, yeah, I know you love them, but you don't like them very much. I said, no, that's not true. I do like them. I don't always like their ways, but I like them. Loving them is my duty. Loving them is my law. I have to obey that. But I want to like them. They're easy to like when they're doing what's right. I got to force myself sometimes to like them when they're doing what's wrong. But I still want to like them. There's still enough good in there. There's still enough purpose in there. There's still enough potential in there that I want to make sure I'm not just doing it, but I'm doing it out of love to serve one another. Then they are strong, ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not please ourselves. If I got enough strength to carry my brother, I want to carry him. If I got enough prayer life to carry my sister, I want to carry him. Whatever things were done aforetime, we're done for our learning. I want to be like-minded. Come on, do I have anybody in the house that's strong enough to carry a brother? Do I have anybody in the house that's strong enough to carry a sister? Maybe they're going through a trial. Maybe they're not praying like they should. Maybe they're not reading their Bible like they should. But they got a brother and a sister holding on. Come on, somebody, we're reaching out tonight. We're pulling them out of the fire. We're pulling them from being lost. We're trying to help each other be saved. I myself also am persuaded of you, my brethren, that ye also are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, able also to admonish one another. That word admonish is not just correct. That's not just getting on to somebody. That's to put in mind. That's to caution, to reprove gently. Hey, bro, don't do that. Hey, sis, don't go there. Don't think that way. Don't say those things. Come on, we can't go down that path. That's not a holier-than-thou attitude. That's an admonishment of love and out of kindness, with all lowliness and meekness, long-suffering, forbearing. You know what that word forbearing means in our language, in our lingo? Putting up with. Putting up with. You know what I'm thankful? I'm thankful that my wife puts up with me. I'm thankful that my kids and my church put up with me. I'm thankful that the saints put up with me. Man, I want things so right. I want things done so good. I want things to prosper. I want things to grow. And when they don't, I got a human nature just like you do. When things aren't going the way you want them to go at home, are you just always so kind and gentle? Come on, I see the smiles. I see the polish at church. But I wonder how you act at home. You probably act a lot like a pastor when things aren't going right at church. Well, but you know what? We're going somewhere, so we got to put up with some things. We're trying to get somewhere, so we got to put up with some things. The Bible says forbearing, putting up with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. Be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another. Even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Put on therefore the elect of God, holy, beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of meekness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man hath a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. I should ask Lily and Esther about that. And let the peace of God rule your hearts, to the which you're also called to one body, and be ye thankful. You want to know how someone really is? Spend a lot of time with them. Spend a lot of time close quarters with them. Spend a lot of time in uncomfortable conditions with them. Spend almost every night. Well, every night. Because the only time we have off is Sunday afternoon. Somebody said one time, hey, we could work Sunday afternoon. And Mason goes, shh, can we have one day? And I agree. That's why we're not doing it. I need a day. I'd like for there to be some more meetings in Chula Vista at 75 degrees that I got to go to for a couple days. You start getting in close quarters. You start working every night and getting tired and letting life. There's got to be some humbleness of mind. There's got to be some meekness. There's got to be some long-suffering. There's got to be some forbearing. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching, admonishing. That's gentle reproof. One another, why? How? With hymns and psalms and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart unto the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. But as touching brotherly love, ye need not that I write unto you, for ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another. Let's consider one another and to reprove, to provoke unto love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some in, but exhorting one another, and so much more as we see the day approaching. Love one another with a pure heart fervently. These are all, I got 5 or 6 pages of scriptures about loving one another. Love one another and give as he gave commandment. Beloved, let us love one another. John 4:11, beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to love one another. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelt in us, and his love is perfected in us. Now I beseech thee, not as though I write a new commandment unto thee, but that which we had heard from the beginning, that we love one another. Coming quickly to a close tonight, but Galatians chapter 5 and Verse number 13. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but love one another. You can say whatever you want to say. You can do whatever you want to do. We are a free people. But that doesn't always mean we should. That doesn't always mean it's right. I heard this a long time ago, and it is proven true. In fact, the person that said it kind of lives by this himself. Some people have something to say, and some people just got to say something. Sometimes the best thing to say is nothing at all. Sometimes the best thing to say is nothing at all. Because you know what that does? It ministers grace to the hearer. I could. In fact, if you guys say, I could say something, but I won't. You already said it. If you start to say something and you stop yourself because you're taking the high road, but you already said enough, you didn't take the high road. The best thing to do is just to keep silent. Minister grace to the hearer. Galatians chapter 6 and verse number 1, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, and that fault is not just sin. That fault could be a failure. That fault could be a hurt. That fault could be bitterness. That fault could be an unjust act against them. That fault could be a mistake, a mess up, whatever it could be. The Bible says, ye that are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Man, they're going through it. I don't know what's going on with them. I'm just going to tell them how the cow ate the cabbage. I'm just going to tell them what they need to hear. Why don't you just stop a moment, take a breath, and think about what the times you've been going through things, the times you came in with a hurt, the times you came in with a bad spirit, the times you came in with the wrong, and you just wanted to be encouraged. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Bear ye through the idea of removal or to lift. Come here, Kondra. Kondra's got a load. Kondra's got a weight. Kondra's got something weighing him down. And if I'm going to tell him how it is, if I got to correct him all the time, all I'm doing is adding to his already heavy burden. But if somehow I can lift him up, if somehow I can say, come on, Kondra, let me get up under this. You're not carrying this by yourself. You're not going through this alone. Can I just tell you, I'm going to help somebody get through their trouble. Bear ye, lift up, because I can carry a load that maybe he can't. And I can make a load that he's carrying lighter. If I could just bear up under the load and carry a burden with him. Come on, son. It's not just a scripture. It's a life-saving measure. It's not just a verse in the Bible. But I want to take the weight off somebody. I want to take the load off somebody. I want to help somebody get the miracle that they're searching for. The Bible said there was a man that couldn't walk, but he was born of four. He was carried a foot. My God, I feel the Holy Ghost tonight. I wonder if somebody could lift up a brother in the spirit. I wonder if somebody could lift up a sister in the spirit tonight. Lift them up and take away the trouble and take away the hurt and help ease the pain. Stand to our feet tonight. The Bible said that those men that carried that man with palsy used the word born, carried. In my mind, it takes me to the thing of childbirth. That baby cannot be sustained by itself. That baby cannot get to be delivered by itself. Someone needs to bear that load. Someone needs to bear that burden. And it's uncomfortable. Never experienced it myself, but I've been around enough of it. It's not easy. But there's no way that baby could get where it needs to be without someone else being uncomfortable. Without someone else having to adjust. I don't want to have to adjust for people. Sometimes you have to adjust for people. My pastor always said this, leave room for human error, for human mistakes. Leave room. Even when we're putting siding on, we got to give some room for expansion and contraction. I don't even know if this fits, but I just thought of this. Working with copper, working with telephone lines. In the cold, things constrict and lines sometimes will open up. That's why you have more trouble with phone lines in the wintertime than you do the summertime. Summertime, they relax, they stretch, they connect. Summertime or wintertime when things get cold and it's the hardest time to work on it too because everything's so brittle. The lines of communication are broke. Well, if they just tell me what's going on, maybe they can't. Maybe they don't have a connection. Maybe they've withdrawn within themselves to protect themselves. That's why I got to be kindly affectionate. That's why I got to go out of my way and make a phone call. Go out of my way and tell them I love them. Go out of my way and say, I'm praying for you. They may not ever say it. They may think it's weakness. But you know what? Sometimes we need somebody to help carry the load. I may not be able to take your sickness away. I may not be able to change your circumstance. I may not be able to pay your bills and get you out of where you're at. But just so you know, you're not by yourself. And just so you know, you're not alone. I want to tell somebody tonight, you're not in this alone. You're not by yourself. You got a pastor. You got a church. But more importantly, you got a friend that's sticking closer than a brother. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I'll be with you. I'll be with you to the end. Come on, sometimes just knowing someone's praying, just knowing someone's got your back, just know that someone's there no matter what, it's enough to carry on. There are times you want to throw in the towel, but you know you got people that love you and are praying for you and dependent upon you. I'll help you carry the load. I'll be there for you and we'll both see a miracle. I'll be there for you and we'll both see God work a miracle in your life. Come on, church, can you feel this tonight? Can you feel the burden of this pastor? Can you help me carry that load tonight? Oh, they just gotta toughen up. Maybe they can't toughen up. Maybe they've been hurt too bad. I've been feeling this for several days today. I've been feeling this for several days. Someone needs to hear tonight. You're not alone. You're not fighting this battle by yourself. I mean, you may not have told anybody else about it, but the Lord has laid on the preacher's heart tonight to let you know you're not in this by yourself. In fact, it may be that the only reason why you're here tonight is because you don't want to disappoint anybody in the church. Let me tell you something. We love you. We're praying for you. We're here for you. It's time to surround yourself with people that want to build you up. It's time to surround yourself with people that want to push you to do better. No drama, no negativity, just higher goals and higher motivations. Come on, you can have good times and you can edify to good works without jealousy, without hate, without envy. Just simply bringing out the absolute best. I know there are people, perhaps under the sound of my voice tonight, that all anyone's ever told you is you're not good enough. You're a failure. You're a mistake. I'm here to tell you that's a lie of the devil. I'm here to tell you that's not what Jesus thinks about you. That's not what this pastor thinks about you. That's not what this church thinks about you. We believe you got potential. We believe you got purpose. Come on, anybody believe that tonight? Anybody want to pray for that tonight? Come on, anybody want to get a burden of you? Well, it's not me, Pastor. I don't care if it's not you. There's somebody in this house tonight. There is somebody in this house tonight that needs the encouragement of a church, that needs the encouragement of a family. Come on, I'm inviting everybody out to the altar tonight. I'm inviting everybody to an altar. Find somebody to pray with tonight. Husbands, if you want to pray with your wives, your families, that'd be good. If you want to find a friend to pray with tonight. Come on, let me just tell you again, you're not alone.
You're my brother, you're my sister. Take
church. Let's pray. Let's pray. Let's pray. Let's pray. Come on, let's reach out to the Lord right now. Let's reach out to the Lord right now. Come on, lift your voice all over this house. Take this the right way tonight, church. And understand that Sister Bray and I are human beings. We feel, in fact, the Bible says we have not a high priest that cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but in all points was tempted. Even Jesus said, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. My wife and I have suffered loss, we've suffered heartache, we've suffered pain. Been there all of our lives, just like everybody else. Pastors and pastors' wives are not exempt to hurt. The day having a very vulnerable conversation amongst each other. My wife made the statement, if it wasn't for the people, I could just go to church somewhere else and be a good saint. We have a relationship with God. That's not the problem. But it's the people. It's the relationship with the people that sometimes keeps you grounded. If you don't have a relationship with God where it needs to be, and you don't have a relationship with people, then where's the anchor? Where's the thing that holds you? And there have been times in my life when I did not have the relationship with God that I should have had. But I had people that loved me, that prayed for me, that pulled me in, that kept me in. I said, I don't believe that. Well, it didn't work. It worked for me. And there were people that were against me, but I thank God there were people that were for me. And needing people is not weakness. It's called humanity. Suffering, trials, tribulations. It's called humanity. Doesn't mean you're weak. Doesn't mean you're a failure. Man, if I'm a failure as a pastor, then I don't know what success is. Because we're still here. You're still here. We're building a church. We're doing the best we can. And if you didn't want to do it, I wouldn't be doing it. If you weren't for it, I wouldn't be doing it. We need each other. And the only way we're going to get through it is with each other. I want to go to heaven with you. I want to rejoice around the throne with you. I want to shout with this church. I don't know the faces that I see in my mind. I don't know all the faces that we've had in dreams of our future, but I do know some. And that's the ones I'm looking forward to shouting with. That's the ones I'm looking forward to rejoicing with. By this, what was it when the Queen of Sheba came to see Solomon? She saw the splendor, she saw the glory of his house and the temple. But she said the half had not been told. What was the other half of it? Thy people are happy. Happy are thy people. Happy are thy servants. Sometimes life is not fair, but we can lean on one another. We can lift up one another. We can sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, and we can laugh together. Hey, I've made jokes about my horses. I've made jokes about stuff because sometimes you just got to laugh about things. It's a whole lot better than crying. whole lot better than crying. Anybody want to make it to heaven? It's by this that men will know we're true followers of Jesus. We ought to be concerned one for another. We ought to be praying one for another. We ought to bear one another's burdens. Praise God. Lift our hands one more time tonight. Come on, lift our spirits one more time tonight in this house. Can we sing it?
Take me by the hand. Together we will work till He comes. There's no foe that can defeat us. Walking side by side, as long as there is love, we will stand.
Oh, as long as there's love.
So take me by the hand. Together we will work until He comes. There's no foe that can defeat us. Walking side by side, as long as there is love, we will stand.
One more time, lift your voice, lift your hands, lift your heart. Come on, by your Spirit, Jesus, by your mercy, Savior, by your grace, my King. God, I love you today. God, I worship you, Jesus. Let me just read. I know I've already said I was going to close, but let me just read. I wrote a scripture down. It's been on my mind all day. I want to read it in its entirety. Just bear with me in my folly here for just a second. Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 29. It says, let no evil communication let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. That's not just dirty jokes and gossip and all of that. That's just things that don't have any value, things that don't build anybody up. But only speak that which is edifying, that it may minister grace, that it may serve grace to the hearers. That's how I want to speak. That's what I want to say. Will I be perfect in that? Absolutely not. But if you give each other a little bit of grace and you allow for human error, we'll make it. We'll make it together. Amen? Amen. Thank God for His mercy. Thank God for His goodness, His mercy, and His grace. We'll be working tomorrow night, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday on the building. If you want to come by and see it, you are more than welcome to. Amen. Greet somebody tonight before you leave. You're dismissed in Jesus' name.